Father, I thank you for this message that you've given to me. I ask that you just help me to deliver it clearly, and that what you really want to say to us this morning would land in our hearts, that we can take it forward and just outwork these sins in our lives. Amen. Right, I'm just going to grab my water because I'm already feeling dry of mouth. So. Oh, I can. Yeah, absolutely. Sorry.
Let's turn this off as well. So
So I think when Pete and Jen first asked me to speak, and I was praying and just asking, God, what would you like me to speak on? And Pete had encouraged us all to read Ephesians. So I was reading Ephesians in the Passion Translation, which is brilliant, and thinking about discipleship and how, it's the first four chapters are, a kind of blueprint for discipleship. And my mind was going all over the place, and I was thinking about the discipleship year that I'd done right back in the early 2000s, my DNA year. And then I was thinking about, discipleship and discipline. And I'd once picked up a copy of Celebration of Discipline by Richard Foster. I don't know if anyone else has seen or read that book. It's quite like, full on. But you will be pleased to know that God has taken me in a completely different direction. So that's good. Still discipleship, but not so heavy on the discipline and how to how work out, which is great, isn't it? So phew. So I was reading through Ephesians in the Passion Translation, and what really struck me just reading it was how much of God's love just kind of flows through those verses. And even, in the first kind of few verses, so Ephesians 3, right, let's see if I can actually read this with my contact lenses in. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm has already been lavished upon us as a love gift from our wonderful Heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And just slightly later in verses 5 and 6, for it is always in his perfect plan to adopt us as his delightful children through our union with Jesus, the Anointed One, so that his tremendous love that cascades over us would glorify his grace. For the same love he has for his beloved one Jesus, he has for us. And this unfolding plan brings him great pleasure. And that's just in the first few verses of Ephesians, and it just goes on and on. And so I was just thinking about his love, and then God, just one night as I was sitting down helping Phoebe to go to sleep, just popped this verse into my head. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that's really the crux of it, discipleship. Like, how do people know that we love Jesus? And it's by the way that we love one another. So, of course, I've gone and looked it up. And actually, just before that, it says, a new command I give to you, love one another, as I have loved you. And so that's really what my talk is based around, that verse. So, yeah, and after that popped into my head, all the notes that I have on discipleship and what that means just felt a bit dry. So I was like, let's not go into that whole thing. Let's just focus on the love. So, so the context of that verse is that it's the Last Supper.
Yeah.
And right before that, Jesus has washed his disciples' feet. So he's stripped off and he's taken that role of the lowest of servants, and he's washed his disciples' feet. And they're, of course, all like, what are you doing? What are you doing? But he was demonstrating that servanthood, that humility, that sacrificial love to his disciples. And then they eat, and then he gives them that commandment, love, you know, one another as I have loved you.
Mm.
So you must love one another. And I was, you know, of course, that love that he's mentioned is like the agape love, that unconditional love, the love that is put into action, which he's so clearly just demonstrated to them. And I was just wondering, like, why did Jesus choose that moment to give them, his disciples, that command? And of course, it's kind of wrapped around, you know, he's predicting Judas's betrayal. He's saying that Peter's going to deny him. There's a lot coming, like he knows he's about to go to the cross, and he's commanding them to love one another. I'm just thinking that maybe Jesus is discerning that there's a lot that's going to go wrong with those disciples. Like, you can just imagine, like, amongst those 12 hot-headed men, young men, how they're going to react to all of these different situations and the emotions that are going to come up for them in these next few days. And even after Jesus is risen, you know, that you've got Thomas who's like, show me your hands, you know, and there's so much going on, and he's saying, like, let's love one another, let's truly, you know, sacrificially love each other. Which makes me think, oh, I wonder why God's given me this at this moment, like what's coming down the line for us as well, and why he's choosing to remind us in this moment that we really need to love one another, and what that means for us as a church. So that one another obviously is like to the disciples, but it's for us, and I was so glad that Pete spoke about like binding us together, because actually it's for us as a church, but for us as a church in the wider context of the church in Tunbridge and the global church. And what does that really mean for us? And I was thinking, not the last night of worship, but the one before, when we were down at the URC, I had a picture of a pestle and mortar, and like the beautiful spices and oil, like being crushed together and bringing us together in unity. And that's what I feel God is doing through those nights of worship. And as a church, I feel like we're actually very good at working in partnership. So all the stuff that we do with Feast, with Comma, it's not just us. It's, you know, we draw people together across the churches in Tonbridge. And when we do that, it commands a blessing. So, you know, Psalm 133, which I'm sure we've all heard a lot of times, is how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It's like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. And that's just this beautiful picture of like the oil of anointing being generously poured out on the priests. And that's what happens when we work together as a church in an area. And like unity for me is always, I think it's been like a really significant rooting in my Christianity. A lot of my Christian rooting was in Guildford, and they did this really well, actually, like unity among the churches. And I was always really fighting for like us as, so I helped to lead a youth church that was part of a large Anglican church, and there was always this fight about whether we should, like, we would meet in the evening, but then all the cross church stuff would be in the evening as well. And it would be like, oh, but the parents really want us to put the put church on. And I was like, no, but you know, being with other churches and being together is always so important because of this, like, God commands this like generous blessing when we work together. So it's always been really like an important thing for me. And it doesn't mean that we have to agree with everything. It doesn't mean that we have to change the way that we do things, but we need to love and appreciate and serve our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ so that God can fully work and pour out his blessing in this town, and you know, eventually more globally, but I think for now let's, you know, focus on Tonbridge, which is why like the nights of worship are so incredibly important, and everything else we do, that loving one another and allowing ourselves to love. And I was reading, you know, the classic Corinthians, you know, love is patient, love is kind, but of course before that as well, it's, you know, if I don't love. And actually I was misquoting when I was thinking about this. I was thinking about a clanging bell, but it's not, it's a symbol. But I was like, actually, bells are really important to us in this church, aren't they? And as a prophetic symbol. And actually, if we don't have that love for our brothers and sisters in Christ, then, you know, what we did up on the mound at the castle, all those bells that we have rung, actually, they are just clanging. You know, they don't mean anything if we aren't allowing that love that God has for us to flow out into the wider church. So, yeah, I know it's not always easy to do that. And we see things and we think, like, why are they doing it that way? Or why wouldn't they join in this thing? But I feel that God is challenging us to see those things and understand them in our own hearts, and then try and love those people anyway. That's the real kind of challenge of this. Yeah. the good news is, you know, that Jesus also has already prayed for us to live in unity. So then he doesn't just leave us to get on with this stuff, does he?
No.
He says, so this is John 17:23. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. So that's us mirroring that kind of relationship that Jesus has with the Father and with the Holy Spirit, that we may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them as you have loved me.
Yeah.
So that really kind of echoes that commandment, doesn't it?
Yeah.
To love one another and bring that unity. And there's loads of other places as well where, like, unity is mentioned. There's Corinthians as well, which talks about, you know, all the different parts of the body of the church. So just as a body, though one, has many parts, all of its parts form one body.
Yeah.
So it is with Christ. And for me, I've done quite a lot of psychological. What do you call them? Oh, the word eludes me now.
Psychometric
testing throughout my career. Who here has done Myers-Briggs?
Yeah.
Who here has done Enneagrams? Has anyone done whole brain dominance? No. So I've done a lot of those things about, you know, understanding how our thinking works, how our brain works, how we best function in teams, and all of those kind of things. And the truth is, we are all so, so different in the way that we look at the world. We've got so many different filters and experiences that lead us to our values, our character. And obviously, you know, God being the biggest, hopefully, influence on those things and how we see the world. But just the way that we like to process information and things like that. And when I look at the church, I think, actually, we need all of this variety. We need these different outworkings of the way and so that each person can find their place, can find where they feel comfortable, where it makes sense to them. Like, some people, you know, love history, they love tradition, you know, they need that to help them to find God. Yeah. Some people, you know, love the future, what's going on, the prophetic, all of those kind of things. And so this style of church probably suits them a lot better. We need that blend to give us a full picture of, like, our identity, but also God's identity as well. We need, like, all of those different parts of the church to show us. And we need to honour each of those different parts. If we didn't have, you know, Liz talking about her hands this morning going numb, like, if we don't have hands in the church, if we don't have feet in the church, you know, we wouldn't be a complete body. We need to allow ourselves to honour and appreciate and view those with kindness, with patience, with all of those things that build up in agape love, so that God can work fully in our towns, in our nations, in the world. I think, as a small aside, you know, we're called to love one another, and I think sometimes in the world, the church can be known for what it stands against or what it doesn't believe in, rather than what it does believe in and how it responds and how it acts with servant, you know, heartedness and kindness and all of those things. And, you know, if I'm completely honest, that can make me want to hide my light under a bushel, you know, because it's like I don't want to be defined by the things that I don't believe in, or, you know, some people would stand against. You know, I want to be known as a Christian that is full of love and honouring and service and those things instead. And we know, you know, that part of those things and part of the reason maybe why there's strength of feeling is because of fear, you know, and we may feel that we have to be stronger on some things, but perfect love drives out all of that fear, and so we need to let God drive those things out of us. So I think that's a bit of a flow, isn't it? This is where I started discipleship. But we're called to love one another so that everyone will know that we are disciples, and that is reflected in how we are, you know, bound together with the wider church and not just us as a singular church.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, all of our discipleship looks different, it looks unique. We're all designed by God, but we need to work that out. I wanted to do just a very quick activation to end. I was thinking about Wendy giving her testimony about being at De La Rue and how God showed you just how much He loved you, and it really impacted me, because I was like, wow, like Wendy really knows that God loves her like through and through and through, and that's amazing. And that's the start of this, isn't it? It's like, actually, if we know that we are loved by God, that love can flow through us to those around us. So, I've got kind of three questions, really, and we're just going to sit with these just for, you know, a period of time. And actually, I'm hoping that God will outwork these. So, and actually one's, yeah, more of an outworking. But let's see. So these are the questions that I was thinking of. Let's ask God to show us how much He loves us. So just ask Him, how much do you love me? And wait and listen and see what He says. And then let's be brave. Give me an opportunity to love someone who I find difficult. And then how can I bring more unity to your church? So if we just spend...
What was the last one?
What was the last one?
Yeah, how can I bring more unity to your church? So Father, I thank you that you love us more than we know, more than we can ever know. And maybe you will only fully know when we see you in heaven. I thank you that you demonstrated your love for us through your Son Jesus, especially that moment where he washed his disciples' feet and blessed them. I want to ask that you would just show us over the summer, Lord, just how much you love us, and you would give us opportunities to demonstrate that love to the people around us. That you would give us opportunities to build the unity in the church. Church in this area to our town.